Sundays at 1520.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The field is now set for the Men's Basketball Africa League playoffs after weekend action in Cairo, Egypt. Petro de Luanda of Angola, Al Ahly of Egypt, Ferroviario de Beira of Mozambique, and the Cape Town Tigers of South Africa finished 1, 2, 3, 4 in the Nile Conference standings and booked their tickets to Kigali, Rwanda for the BAL playoffs. In quarterfinal action on May 20th in Kigali, Stade Malien of Mali will meet the Cape Town Tigers, and Rwanda Energy Group will host Al Ahly. On May 21st, AS Douan of Senegal will play Beira, and Petro is matched against Abidjan Basketball Club of Ivory Coast. The Cape Town Tigers earn the last playoff spot in the Nile Conference after beating City Oilers of Uganda 80-70. I asked Tigers captain Peter Prinsloo, what was the mood in your locker room in Cairo after you qualified for the BAL playoffs for a second year in a row?
It was an amazing feeling and experience. Obviously, we put ourselves in a kind of a stressful situation where it was us against Oilers and both teams fighting for their lives. Whichever team wins goes through, and whichever team loses is out. So if we would have taken care, not say take care of business, but just played a full 40 minutes of basketball against Beta instead of 35 minutes and then throwing away the game in the last 5 minutes, I would have been a little bit less stressful and, you know, do or die. But the guys are happy, especially in the way that we did it. Being that three of our foreigners, our import players, were out with injuries, it really felt great, especially for a lot of the South African guys, that they were able to show that we are a very good team, and that no matter what, even if you're down some of your big guns, everybody else is able to step up and perform the way that they're expected to. So, you know, everybody was really happy and delighted with the victory, and, you know, kind of with a new positive mindset that, you know, going to Kigali, the South African players have a big impact on the success that we have, and they can see it now. You know, a lot of times certain guys, you know, I wouldn't say has doubts, but, you know, certain, the stage is a little big compared to what they played on, and there's, you know, some nerves, and I feel like this game really helped get that out and show the unity that we have as a team.
Peter, one of your South African teammates who stepped up against the Oilers was Samkelo Sele. He had a game-high 28 points. Talk about his performance and his game overall.
Oh, Samkelo Sele, yeah, Brian. Well, he goes by Brian. He had an amazing performance. Obviously, very talented kid. He played Division I basketball as well in the States. He was at Marist, where I actually did my 4 years and played my college basketball in the States. And then he just, for this last season, he transferred out and did, because he wanted to be, have more of a role and be the main go-to guy. So he transferred to a smaller school. But very high talented scorer. And with the first couple of games, it's hard sometimes to get into a rhythm and show your capabilities when you're getting minutes off the bench and, you know, then you're getting subbed out again because the starter goes back in. So we really needed a big performance from him. We kind of knew going into the game that outside of Mike Benajay and myself, he was going to be the third guy to, you know, come along with us and really carry the scoring load, where some of the other guys were really doing an amazing defensive job. Lebo Mofokeng and our young academy player, along with Lebesa Selepe, you know, these guys gave 120% on the defensive end because we understood that the game is going to be won on the defensive side of the basketball. But, you know, Brian is a super talented scorer and a freak athlete. I mean, there was the one baseline dunk that he had. I'm pretty sure the whole gym was completely shocked at what he did. But no, that's the type of performance you need. And from a guy like that who has aspirations of playing high-level basketball overseas or potentially getting a summer league or a G League look, that's exactly what we needed.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sonny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm talking with Peter Prinsloo, the captain of the Cape Town Tigers Basketball Club. Peter, taking a look at your performance against the City Oilers, 18 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds. Do you feel like it was your best performance in Cairo?
No. I mean, I definitely have a lot more in me and a lot better, you know, performances that's still in the tank. You know, I kind of got the game off in the right rhythm, really gave us that boost at the beginning where made a good amount of shots early to start the game and give us that you know, foot on the gas pedal to get us going from the start. And then I kind of cooled off and then, you know, really got some of my teammates involved. You know, some nights not every shot's going to fall. But then towards the end, you know, it came through again. I made two nice passes where Brian managed to get to the open spot, and I found him. And then the three-pointer with just over a minute to go to kind of put the dagger in it and seal it. Because at that point, we're up 4 with just over a minute. You know, now if we don't score, they have a potential to come down and be down 2 or down 1 if they hit a 3. But, you know, that three-pointer putting us up 7 with just over a minute to go really kind of took the heart, you know, from City Oilers. But no, it wasn't an extremely great shooting night overall, but it was the performance that we needed. I did the things that was needed for us to win, and understanding that some of the guys are not available and that I have to step up and, you know, distribute, that there is going to be attention on me and find my open teammates, but also do the things that I'm capable of doing and, you know, putting the ball in the basket. So it was a performance that I knew whatever it was going to take, as well as defensively and just being a leader, talking on the floor the whole time and guiding my teammates and helping them know exactly what's going on defensive end and where screens are at and the rotations, because we knew it was a collective team effort, but also as the team captain, I have to control everything from the top and be the head of the ship.
Peter, those three Tigers who weren't available for that game against the Oilers, Zaire Wade, Evans Ganapamo, and Josh Hall, will they be ready to go in Kigali on May 20th?
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to disclose medical information regarding this situation, but they are getting reevaluated now that we're here in South Africa, but there is a potential that some of them will not be available. We're looking at the potential of maybe one. There's basically a confirmation that one of the guys will be swapped because of medical situations. Zaire, it's both of his ankles, so they're going to monitor that situation. Hopefully he's able to recover. And Evans has a knee injury, so they're going to see what you know, the possible outcomes are and if he's able to be ready for Kigali or if they have to look in another direction. So, you know, these guys, obviously they want to play, but, you know, doctors' recommendations and expertise comes in first, because you always want to look at the long-term longevity for a player and, you know, their career down the road and not push them to play now against, you know, injury and then potentially ruin the rest of their career. So these guys are going to be evaluated again, but there is a potential that we will have to make multiple changes because guys are injured to an extent that they are not going to be available for Kigali.
Peter, Zaire Wade did not play against the Oilers, but his father, 13-time NBA All-Star Dwayne Wade, was there courtside in Cairo cheering on you and the other Tigers. What did that mean, Peter, to have such basketball greatness there in Egypt?
Oh no, I mean it's a great, you know, it's a great feeling when, you know, especially I during the game with Beta, obviously had foul trouble in the first half, and at halftime, he had a quick word with me and, you know, telling me that he can see what I'm doing for the team, but, you know, to be ready for the second half. And the same thing just now with this game, before the game, he told me, you know, to, you know, get going, you know, do things and play the way I'm capable of playing, because he understands basketball. So, no, it's a great feeling when you have somebody of that, you know, caliber, a Hall of Fame and a, you know, top five shooting guard of all time sitting courtside and, you know, telling you, hey, keep doing what you're doing. Like, and then after the game, him coming up to you and telling you that you know, that's the way to perform and that's the type of performance the team needed to get this victory. It's a wonderful feeling, and especially a lot of the guys that hasn't been around that type of environment. You know, some of the places with me playing D1 and then playing Champions League, you're around an environment with players that have been, you know, either in the NBA or around this situation. You know, this is obviously a whole new level with a Hall of Fame top five player in his position of all time. But it really meant a lot for a lot of the other guys to see that and have somebody of such caliber being there supporting our team. And even though his son wasn't able to play, he was completely, fully involved, him and Gabriel Union on the sideline, screaming with all fours and cheering on our team. It's stuff like that, you know, it can't really be explained how much energy and drive it gives you to just perform better and try and go do your best every night.
Thanks, Peter. That's Peter Prinsloo, the captain of the Cape Town Tigers Basketball Club. And Peter was talking with me by telephone from Johannesburg, South Africa. And we'll hear more from Peter later this week about the Tigers and the upcoming Basketball Africa League playoffs in Kigali, Rwanda. What did you think of the four teams that qualified for Kigali from the Nile Conference? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to the head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club, Liz Mills.
First and foremost, congratulations to the four teams that qualified for the playoffs out of the Nile Conference. It was, in my mind, always going to be pretty predictable who the first two teams were. It was just a matter of which team was going to finish on top of the table. So congratulations to Petro de Luanda. The game against Ahali was probably the one of the best, if not the best, BAL game ever played in the three seasons of the BAL. I really enjoyed it, and it was a great contest. We, as ABC, are excited to play against Petro, who will be our matchup in the quarterfinals. And 3, 4, 5, and 6 for me was probably where the real competition was always going to be. And so, you know, with Beira and Cape Town sneaking in, it's going to be a very exciting playoffs with those four teams coming to compete against AS Douan, Stade Mali, Reg, and of course ABC.
Abidjan BC Fighters qualified for the BAL playoffs from the Sahara Conference. What's your take on the chances of your team at the playoffs?
Like I always say, any team that has made playoffs has put themselves in a position to win the title. And whether you're ranked 1, 2, 3, or 4 in Africa on any given day, anyone can beat anyone. And that's what makes the competition so exciting. Obviously, there are favorites, but with being a favorite comes a lot of expectations. And I experienced that last year with the team in Morocco that I coached. And previously with teams like the Kenyan men's national team, I'm used to being with an underdog. And I know the Ivorians are really hungry and they're happy to have that label. I think when you have nothing to prove like the favorites do, you know, it's not a lot of weight on your shoulders and you can play with a little bit more freedom. And so we're really excited about our matchup, and I think it's going to be hopefully a great contest and we get to measure ourselves against one of the best clubs in Africa, and that's always a great opportunity and we're looking forward to it.
Coach, some basketball analysts are of the opinion that this year's BAL playoffs will be very tough, given the teams that have qualified for the finals. What's your take on this?
I agree with the analysts here. Every year the BAL, the standard of the game has gotten better. And also given the fact that each team can change their roster and make upgrades, I think this is also going to significantly impact on the standard of the game and is really going to make every team a little bit more competitive. I think we've got some great matchups ahead. I think we might see some surprises. We might see some favorites fall early. And like I previously said, that's the beauty of African basketball. Any team has an opportunity to win on any given day. And I think a lot of our teams in the playoffs this year are preparing really well. I'm talking to other teams and hearing what's going on. And I think where fans are really in for a treat come playoffs in 2 weeks.
That's Liz Mills, the head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club. And she spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abidjan, Ivory Coast.
Sporty greetings. This is Liz Mills, head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club of Côte d'Ivoire. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes, and check out some of the other VOA programs at voaafrica.com. Lots of information at voaafrica.com. In the National Basketball Association playoffs Sunday, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Phoenix Suns both scored victories at home. Philadelphia edged the Boston Celtics 116-115 in overtime, while Phoenix defeated the Denver Nuggets 129-124. Let's go to Philadelphia now, where the AP's Michael Luongo reports the hero for the 76ers was James Harden.
James Harden in a three-point basket with 19 seconds left in the overtime to give the 76ers a 116-115 win over the Celtics in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference semifinal series. Harden's basket with 16.7 left in regulation tied the game at 107. His game winner enabled the Sixers to even the series at 2 games apiece.
Quite frankly, today was a do or die for us. You know what I mean? So we found a way to win, and that's all that matters in the postseason.
Harden finished with 42 points. Joel Embiid added 34.
I thought we stuck with it, but that's been us all season long. Just, sticking together, fighting through anything, being down 5 with, 1 minute left, 2 minutes left. That's huge for us, and we know we didn't play our best.
Jason Tatum had 24 for Boston.
I mean, we just playing the right way. We just playing the way that we're supposed to, competing, making things tough, playing with pace, getting great shots. Obviously we was down, we had to come back, but we were just playing the way we were supposed to play.
Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. The Philadelphia-Boston series is now tied at 2 games each. Game 5 in the best-of-7 playoff series is Tuesday night in Boston. Out west, the Phoenix-Denver NBA playoff series is also tied at 2 games each after Phoenix won on Sunday. The AP's George Tanner reports from Phoenix, Arizona.
Devin Booker and Kevin Durant each scored 36 points as the Suns defeated the Nuggets 129-124 to tie their Western Conference semifinal series at 2 victories apiece. Landry Shamet had 19 points off the bench, including 4 three-pointers in the fourth quarter. The bench contributed 40 points overall. Durant says that was huge.
It was good that we got some momentum and after that first quarter and was able to kind of be an even game after that into the fourth where we pulled away. So we played extremely hard, man. That's all we can do. And, our bench came through and made big shots, got big stops.
Nikola Jokic led Denver with a career in playoff high 53 points.
A lot of guys are stepping up and making good nights or big nights, whatever. I think it's an interesting series. Hopefully we can protect our home court
during the whole year. We did our job, they did their job.
George Tanner, Phoenix.
Thanks, George. Game 5 in the Phoenix-Denver series is Tuesday night in Denver, Colorado. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Prince Nesta joins us once again with a look at the weekend highlights in the major European club football leagues. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Egyptian international striker Mo Salah scored his 100th goal at Anfield to help Liverpool register their 6th Premier League win in a row by defeating Brentford by a 2-0. The 30-year-old, nicknamed Egyptian King, also became the first player in the team's history to score 9 consecutive home appearances for the Reds. Liverpool are currently 5th on 62 points, while Brentford lie 9th in the table and on course for their best ever top flight finish since 1938. Here's Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp's thoughts on his team's performance.
It was the best defensive set-piece session I ever saw, because the best set-piece team in the league, probably the most creative, with a full week to prepare. Coming here and have an awful lot of set-pieces, and I can't remember that they had a real chance of it. We did that really well. We had too much of these moments, but yeah, that's how it is. They go for it, provoke it and stuff like this, but it was just from a focus point of view, sensational from us.
That's Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp discussing his team's win against Brentford in the Premier League. Arsenal also secured a 2-0 win against Newcastle at St. James's Park. Norwegian international Martin Odegaard scored his 15th goal of the season to open the scoring for the Gunners before Fabian Schär turned the ball into his own net. The win guaranteed the Gunners at least second place in the table and moved to within a point of leaders Manchester City. Odegaard is the only central midfielder to score 15 goals for Arsenal in a single Premier League season, with the other owners going to Cesc Fabregas, who scored 15 goals in 27 appearances during the 2009-2010 campaign. The Arsenal's keeper shared his thoughts on the match.
I think we chose something special today. To come here and win is not easy, the way we did it as well. We had to be very smart, we have to be a bit... ugly at times, and I think this is a big step for us, a young team coming here and doing all the things we do. I think it's shows we've come a long way.
Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta also assessed his team's performance.
We knew it was going to be like that. We had to compete really hard. They're a really physical team. They put everything in every challenge, and we had to do that part first, and I think we've done that really well. And then we have to earn the right to play, and in many moments we've done that and create some big opportunities through some play, and we have to suffer because they create a special atmosphere, and they are a great team. That's the reason why they are where they are and cost us problems. I think we managed to resolve them in the right way.
Then's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta discussing his team's win against Newcastle in the Premier League. French defender of Congolese descent Benoit Badiashile, Conor Gallagher and Joao Felix all registered their names in the score sheet to help Chelsea claim a 3-1 victory against Bournemouth, their first under interim manager Frank Lampard. The win helped the Blues move up to 11th with 42 points, while Bournemouth are currently 14th in the table with 39 points. Here's Frank Lampard's thoughts on his team's performance.
A good day. We had to fight for the win, but we also dominated a lot of the game in our way. And in the moment we're in, the season it's been, any win and any sign of progression feels good, and you have to work for it. And the lads did today. Every one of them, everyone who started, everyone who came on and affected the game, because all the subs are really positive. The connection with the fans, I want to say thanks to them, because they were brilliant from pre-game, during game, end of game. And it's nice to see that connection at the end of the game, because it's important And the fans will always react when the players put in a shift and try to play the right way and make a lot of sprints and make all the things that you know, the basics of the game. So it was a nice, small, positive step forward today.
That's Chelsea's interim manager, Frank Lampard, discussing his team's win against Bournemouth in the Premier League. Manchester City extended their lead at the top of the Premier League after securing a 2-1 win against Leeds, thanks to a brace from Ilkay Gundogan. The Citizens now have 4 Premier League games remaining and are scheduled to face Real Madrid at the Bernabeu on Tuesday in the first leg of their Champions League semi-final match. Here's City boss Pep Guardiola's assessment on his team's performance.
The performance was excellent. We played really, really good. Maybe we're not clinical enough for body football, but I'm not going to explain what's my feelings about the game for the last 5 or 6 or 7 minutes, because in general it was really good. The first half better than the second, but the second was under control.
That's Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola discussing his team's win against Leeds United in the Premier League. Algerian winger Saïd Benrahima also scored his 10th goal in all competitions to help West Ham United beat Manchester United by a 2-0 in an entertaining match played at London Stadium. The Hammers are currently 15th with 39 points, while the Red Devils lie 4th with 63 points. United boss Erik ten Hag shared his thoughts on the match.
First half, I think we played quite well and we created a lot of opportunities, and then maybe on the first occasion they score a goal, and then you're following facts and of course disappointment about the result, same as Thursday. But I think we lost from ourselves, and now we have 1 week time as the first since Christmas. We have that. We need energy because both second halves were below the standards.
That's Manchester United manager Erik ten Hag assessing his team's loss against West Ham in the Premier League. Fringe star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe, Fabian Ruiz and Vitinha all scored to help PSG secure a 3-1 win against Troyes and extend their lead at the top of the table to 6 points. 7-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi missed the game for the Parisians as he continues to serve a club suspension for an unauthorized trip to Saudi Arabia. Ivorian midfielder Seko Fofana and Belgian midfielder of Congolese descent Louis Openda were also on target for Lens, who beat Olympique Marseille 2-1. Alexandra Golovin and Dutch striker of Ghanaian descent Myron Boadu all registered their names on the score sheet as Monaco picked up a much-needed win against already relegated Angers.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria and Napoli FC forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Thoughts on the Voice of America.
And finally, in the Italian league, Nigerian striker Victor Osimhen's equalizer in the second half against Udinese ensured Napoli won their first Serie A title in 33 years, sparking off jubilant celebrations among their fan base. Napoli's previous 2 titles came in the days of Argentina legend Diego Maradona, who the stadium is now named after, in 1987 and 1990. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. In professional golf, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to American Wyndham Clark, who captured his first PGA Tour title. Clark won the Wells Fargo Championship Tournament in the southern U.S. city of Charlotte, North Carolina. The AP's Graham Agars tells us more.
It may have taken him 134 tournaments, but 29-year-old Wyndham Clark can now finally call himself a PGA Tour winner, that after posting a 4-shot victory at the Wells Fargo Championship at the demanding Quail Hollow course in Charlotte, North Carolina.
I've done it multiple times this year where I catch myself daydreaming about winning, and to do it at this golf course against this competition is better than I could ever have imagined.
After a slow start, Clark caught fire on the back nine with 4 birdies there, allowing him to win comfortably despite a last-hole bogey. He finished at 19-under after a 68, and that gave him the 4-shot win over Xander Schauffele. Clark takes home a winner's check for $3.6 million. I'm Graham Agars.
And that wraps up the May 8th edition of the show.
I get it.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.